Good morning. The reading this morning actually starts on page 3, right at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruits with seeds in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. Now jump to the sixth day. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. Thank you, Teresa. You guys can catch up on what happened on days 4 and 5 in your own reading time. I thought we'd cut to day 6 to see what happened when humanity came on the scene. So I wonder if have any of you ever received a live goat for Christmas? you know what I mean when I ask the question? That you can sometimes receive a live goat or a chicken or a cow, but you don't actually get it. And I think I'm of the view that to receive a picture of a live goat is actually slightly more appropriate in my context. I appreciate the gift of a goat, but I think it would make more impact in my life, and not necessarily in a good way, if I were to receive the presence of a goat in my home. Or let me give it another example. I wonder how many of us have got photos of our loved ones in our homes or maybe on our phones. What would it do if we were suddenly told, well, that's good enough, isn't it? You've got a picture. You've got a picture on your phone. You've got a picture in your house. Do you actually need to be with that person? Some of us may have pictures of people that we can't be with. And that's a really painful thing, because we want to be with the person that we love. I've got a calendar with pictures of my niece and my nephews, so I can see them every day of the year in their photograph, but it doesn't mean I don't want to see them, have them present in my life. To be honest, it is more impactful, it's messier, and it's louder when I do see them, and it's more dangerous for my home and my possessions when they're actually in my presence, but I wouldn't trade that. This is a message that they left for me one of the times they came to visit on my fridge. Auntie Jenny is weird. Oh, thanks. So it makes more of an impact to have them in my presence, but I wouldn't give it up. The presence makes a difference. We can buy an album, we can listen to it on our phones, but what a difference it makes seeing someone live in concert. Today we start a new sermon series, which is about God's love in action, revealed throughout the ages, which is why we started at the very beginning of the Bible today. And the keynote that we'll hear over the coming weeks is abundance, the abundance of God's love in action. We're starting today thinking about God's abundant presence. So it seemed a good idea to go to the very beginning of the Bible. We've just heard about the active presence of God from the beginning of time. And the presence of God is a presence that makes a difference. It has an impact. It's not like having a photo on the mantelpiece. It's like having a presence which is impactful in our lives. It can be messier. It can be a bit more vulnerable. But it makes a difference in our lives. I know this to be true, as many of you will know as well. It makes all the difference in the world. And because that is true, I'm just going to suggest that we punctuate our time together this morning with moments where we simply sit and be still in the presence of God. Maybe you know for yourself that glorious sense of homecoming or exhilaration in the presence of God when we turn to recognize the presence of God. And maybe for some of us that feels like a new thing. That's something that we wouldn't directly experience. But I don't want to just distribute photos of God's presence today. I want us to experience it, to encounter it for ourselves. There are tons of ways in which we can encounter God's presence. But I'm going to go with the psalmist here, go with some ancient wisdom, who says, be still and know that I am God. So I'm going to punctuate what I say today with an opportunity for us to, quite simply, breathe in and breathe out and know that God is with us. I read this week that somebody has this kind of practice that as they breathe in, they pray, Lord, you are with me. And as they breathe out, they pray, as I am here with you. So you might want to do that with the breaths that we take together. We're just going to leave these pauses. So let's do that together. Close your eyes if it's helpful. And we simply breathe in and breathe out. Lord, you are with us here as we are here with you. As we breathe, we are taking in what our body needs for it to function. We're taking in oxygen, and we're breathing out what our body no longer needs. Our breath is giving us life and giving us voice and giving us strength. So our breath is like a non-visual visual aid for remembering the presence of God with us. In Hebrew, our breath is our ruach. This breath, this word means breath and wind and spirit. And in Hebrew, all of those words layer onto each other. The ruach is necessary for life. It's invisible, so we can't see it, but we can see its effect. And it's powerful. It makes a difference. It has an impact. And this was the word that we heard in the first verse of our, in the second verse of our reading. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God, the Ruach of God, was hovering over the waters. The Ruach of God is God's living and life-giving breath. It's necessary for life. It's invisible and it's powerful. It makes a difference. And here it is, present from the beginning of time and present still today, present as close to us as our breathing, as close to us as our breath. So I guess I'm offering us the question, I wonder if not just today, but throughout our weeks, our very breath can be a reminder of God's presence with us. Let me give a brief practical example of how I think this can make a difference for us. Have any of you ever been in a conversation where at some point you do something like this? Like it's a bit of a deep sigh or a despairing, frustrating, I don't even know what to say in this situation. It can be a sigh of frustration or anger, or I don't even know how to encounter with this next part of the conversation. Or it can be a sigh of sympathy. I really hear what you say. I really hear what you say, and I don't have any words to express. What if that deep breath, what if that sigh was a reminder to us of God's presence in that conversation? A reminder of God's presence and even a prayer, just a simple, you are here with me in this conversation as I am here with you. I've been in conversations even this week, even these last weeks, where a prayer no longer than a breath has transformed a conversation. If you've been in a conversation where you've got to a point, I don't know where to go with this. And a prayer as simple as a breath can transform it. So our own breath, our own ruach, can remind us of the essential, powerful, transforming breath, spirit, the presence of God. As we were singing earlier on, as we were singing, praying for God's kingdom to come, I was just exhilarated by the fact that as we all sang that, as we lean into that, when we go into our weeks, what incredible power is unleashed as we go expectantly to look out for the power of the kingdom of God in all the different places we'll go to this week. And we can be reminded of it simply by our breath. So in verse 2, it goes on to say, we read that the Ruach of God is hovering, or some translations say moving, or one translation I found says fluttering over the surface of the waters, over these formless, chaotic depths. So what's going on with that word, with that moving, fluttering word? So this is, bear with me, I mean, this is my last Hebrew word. Some of us love this, some of us I know are sitting here going, oh, come on. But one more Hebrew word. The Ruach of God is rachafing over the formless depths. That's what that verb says, it's a rachafing over the formless depths. I quite like saying Hebrew because you can just clear your throat at the same time. So and that word, the rachaf, it's also used to convey what it is when a bird incubates its eggs. It's like that fluttering of feathers of a bird incubating eggs. So it's got a sense of bringing something to birth, a bird hovering protectively, ready for something to hatch newly. It's used in the book of Deuteronomy in that way. One commentator says, this is a loving and gentle energy which tenderly and gradually, with fostering care, calls forth the latent potentials of a nascent world. So I love that sense of expectancy of the Ruach of God, the Spirit of God, ready to bring something new to birth. I think when I read this of We've got midwives in our congregation here, so shout out to the midwives, but not just people who are literally bringing something to birth, but so many of us are doing this in many different ways, of teachers who are bringing to birth the potential of their students, of students, our young people who are bringing to birth their own potential as they study and dream, and as you guys start to imagine and lean into the gifts that God has given you. I think of designers and engineers who are bringing new possibilities to birth. I think of writers who are bringing new ideas to birth. Gardeners. There are so many of us. As friends, we can encourage others. We can encourage our friends and bring new things to birth in their life. And we're participating in this rachafing presence of God as we share in this. We note later on how God gives humanity a share in his work, a share in governing and stewarding and bringing fullness out of creation. So the presence of God in which we participate, which is close to us as breath, is alive and life-giving, full of activity, full of giving things a new birth. So we're going to see where this hovering presence, what this ready presence brings us. So back to verse 3 onwards. And I'd like to invite you to turn to a neighbour and look at verse 3 onwards. We're going to do this really quickly, so it's just be a swift look. And review those verses and see what God is doing. If this helps you, if you're a grammar fan, look out for the verbs. Look out for what God, for the verbs in the passage, what God is doing in these, and find with a neighbour what verbs you can see. We'll do it really quickly. Okay, so let's just have some quick hands up, some quick responses. Who found a verb that they'd like to share? There's no tricks in here. I've literally, look at the words. What do they say? Would anyone like to raise a hand and tell us about something that we found that the God doing, the presence of God doing? Yes. Speaking, absolutely. God speaks. And then what happens when he speaks? He commands and things happen. And he speaks and he blesses. And he speaks and he names things. He identifies what they are. Brilliant, thank you. Anything else? He called, absolutely, he called. So he's voicing things. Yeah, thank you. Anything else? Sue? He separates. It's interesting that, isn't it? That separating thing. And I'm not really going to go into it now, but I wonder if that's something about it. It's like multiplication. It's not just one form of the environment, but it's like water and land. And it's not just one state. It's light and dark. And he goes on, creates not just one living being, but it's fish and birds and animals and human. Like he's always multiplying and making diverse and multiple. Just as Teresa was reading, I was just thinking, there's not even just one way of reading. Like, I read with my eyes, Teresa's reading with her fingers. It's amazing that God is always doing new things and multiplying again and again. So that's separating. Yes. Anything else? Sorry? Hovering. Yeah, he hovers at the start with this kind of expectancy. I've got another couple, but yes. He guides. Yeah, I don't know if that's a word that's found here, but he does. He definitely guides us. And maybe he's guiding, like he's bringing creation into being with his words here. Yeah. He defines, he's naming things, isn't he? Brilliant. I'm just going to bring up my little list here, much of which you'll have said or seen. So he speaks, he commands, he brings things into being, he names and affirms, he affirms things. So he says, this is good. And he blesses. We heard him bless at the end of the reading. He separates, talked about that. He sees, so God saw that it was good. And that kind of is a judging thing. He's seeing and he's assessing and he's saying, yeah, that is good. He's seeing and he's judging. This was in a perfect world as he created it. But as we see, We're in a broken world, and if God is still seeing, he's also naming what is not good. As he sees and judges what is good, he's also seeing and judging what is not good. And the first, this is not good, that we see in later on in the book of Genesis, it's when a person is alone and he transforms it. So he sees what is not good and he transforms it. He makes, that's another verb that's used, he makes, creates, and he gives. He gives things to humanity. So what happens when God is present, when his spirit is present, when his ruach is present? Life happens. Life happens. God's presence isn't like a photo sitting on a mantelpiece. It's impactful. Things are created and changed and named and brought into being. So I don't just want a photograph of that on my mantelpiece. I want that in my life and in my home. It's the same presence of God, the same ruach of God that we can know today. The God who creates, who transforms, who brings new things into being. The spirit of God bringing new things to birth today. I was just praying this morning for us to know the hope of that. The hope of that, that he's bringing new things into being. Let's just take a moment with that. I'm going to pick out four things from this list that the presence of God is doing that might help us to see him and to cooperate with him in his activity in our... We've heard a bit about some workplaces, but wherever we go this week, these are the four things that he is present, he names or affirms what is good, he transforms what is not good, and he brings new things to birth. Those are the four things I just love us to think about. I've been reflecting recently on the practice of examine. This is an ancient Christian practice, but I think it's having a little bit of a renaissance, and it's something that I'm trying to be a bit more intentional about. Many of you will already know what examine is about. It's really an ancient Christian practice that early Christians found to be a way of recognizing the presence of God, the Spirit of God, and conversing with him in their daily lives, and therefore knowing the power of God to heal and transform and change. Traditionally, it's done at the end of a day to ask the Holy Spirit to be with you as you look back through your day, to see where he was at work. And there are various different ways in which it's practiced. Here's one way that I find to be easy to remember, and I find links in with our passage. So I guess I'm offering it to you as something which may be a helpful thing as we started thinking about God in our workplaces, our environments throughout the week. Maybe this is something that will help. Could you bring up the next slide for us, Rob? Thank you. So as God is present, affirms, judges, and creates, so we can reflect on his presence, rejoice at the gifts he's given us, the good things, repent at what has not been good, and receive, or some people say reboot or restore. So as God is present, we can reflect on his presence, we can rejoice at what's been good and godly, repent of what has not been good, and lean in to the new different things that God is calling us to live in. It can be 5 minutes in the middle of the day. It could be a lunchtime. It can be an end of the day thing. So this first step is simply recognizing the presence of God, rachafing away in our lives, recognizing that he's here, ready and waiting to bring to birth the fullness of life that God has for us. Lord, you are with me as I am here with you. Then in the presence of God, reviewing what has gone before and asking the Holy Spirit to show you how God has been close to you, showing you the details of the good things that he has been given you. That kind word, that bright sun, that really tasty apple, that goal that you scored, that unexpected achievement of the day. God names what is good, and in his presence we are released to rejoice. Pete Gregg tells a story in his book, Dirty Glory, which I repeatedly recommend, about a time when he felt God, he was just walking around, and he felt God say to him, have a look at that tree. And he looked at this tree, and it was really, oh, this is exciting. God's just spoken directly to me. What's going to happen next? And he was waiting for some new command or new challenge or new revelation of who God was. And he looked at it for a while, and he didn't hear anything else. And he was asking God, why am I looking at this tree? What is it about this tree? And after a bit of a pause, he felt God say to him, "I just thought it was a pretty nice tree." Pete Gregg says, "I thought that God was saying to me something like, you don't have to be so intense all the time." So I love the idea that that's something that the presence of God does to us. He releases us to rejoice in a pretty good tree. So recognizing the presence of God, reflecting on it, rejoicing at his gifts, and next asking the Holy Spirit, how have I wandered away today? Knowing that God transforms what is good, we're given space to repent, to be forgiven, and to be transformed. I might have told this story here before about a South African friend who posted on Facebook that they'd had their laptop and their camera stolen, and because they'd chosen not to have insurance, that was the way they'd chosen to live their lives, because they wanted to trust God, now they were just going to have to trust God and pray. The next day they put another post on Facebook to say, "Well, this is weird. The person who stole my laptop and camera yesterday has just brought them back. They felt like they were convicted of something, and they've just brought them back to my house. I'm about to go and meet with them and tell them that this God that they've met in like a good judgment, a judgment of what is not good, I'm about to tell them that about Jesus, who can forgive and can do something new in their lives." Amazing. God, the presence of God can tell us what is not good, allow us to repent and give us space for new life. So reflect, rejoice, repent, and receive or restore or reboot. God brings new things to birth. And in his presence, we can have hope to be made new in the God of resurrection. I've got just a few examples here. Firstly, a recent story from a friend who's not from here, but her dad has suffered an illness for some years, which brings him down. And their conversations, she'd found, had settled into this pattern of focusing on this illness of her dad. So she was having a conversation with him about 2 months ago. She was looking ahead to a conversation and knew that this pattern was there, knew that that's the rhythm that their conversation had fallen into. So she prayed that the presence of God would be with them in their conversation. And when they came together and were chatting, the conversation began to settle into that old routine. But she consciously invited God into it. And she said, "Dad, can I pray for you in this illness?" He'd been curious about faith before, but he wasn't a believer. So she prayed just a really simple prayer that God would bring him healing. And the following day he texted her to say he felt better than he had done for months. And since then, and this just seems too ridiculously simple to say, but he's not had a single one of those down days again. He's kept on being well. The conversations haven't fallen into that pattern. The presence of God brings new life. Another example, I used to work as a campaigner, that was my job, and I had did a freelance piece of work at one point where I worked for 6 different charities at once. A lot of us have got jobs which are stressful at various different periods, but I went through a couple of weeks which are really stressful trying to coordinate these 6 different charities and get them vaguely on the same page. But I discovered at this workplace that I was placed at that there was a toilet, there was a loo that no one ever seemed to go to. It was never locked, it was on the 3rd floor. So that used to be my place to go at lunchtimes and pray for the presence of God, essentially, in a situation where I was feeling it was really hard work and really stressful. I reached out to God in that toilet again and again, and that became a place of his presence. And the point of the story is this: aside from the work stuff that I was praying about, this became the workplace where I think God made the most impact through me, the most opportunities to share my faith. I'm not a gifted evangelist. I believe that we're all, that God says that we are all to do the work of an evangelist. And we've got good news to share and I want to share it. But it doesn't come naturally to me in my temperament. So I really have to choose it. I really have to lean into it, which I do with joy, but it's not natural. But there was one time in this workplace where I was sitting on, there were like 8 desks, so I was sitting around with 8 different people, and one of them asked me, fairly out of the blue, "So Jenny, what happened when Jesus rose from the dead?" I've never had such a direct question, not direct opportunity to preach about the resurrection to people who didn't believe in Jesus and didn't know what his new life was about. For people who were leaning in to hear what I was about to say, I ended up buying a Bible for another of the people, a different person who wasn't there at the time, Googling churches to go to for another person that I was with. The presence of God makes an impact, does new things, does things which we can't imagine by ourselves. Oh, I'm running out of time. I won't give this other example. So God is present with us. As he was at the beginning of time, so he is here, naming what is good, transforming what is not good, and bringing new things to birth. And we can know him in Jesus. God comes so close to us, his presence comes so close to us that he took on our humanity, our flesh. So we can rejoice at his presence with us. We can know his forgiveness through Jesus' death on the cross in order that he can bring to birth in us the new things, the new life in us, where we're freed from what is wrong into a new life with him. If this feels like something new to you, you think, I don't really know what that presence of God is like, then I'm going to shortly just pray a prayer for us that we would all know the Ruach, the Spirit of God, present in us in a new way. And if you want to receive this gift of God's presence, I'm going to pray that for us all now. And I just suggest that we might all open our hands as a gesture of openness, whether we feel this is something we've received before or something new for us. We're going to be still and know that he is God. In his presence, new things are brought to birth. So it might be that God will give new gifts to us, his congregation, as we receive his presence. If there is a gift that you seek from God, a gift of wisdom or insight or healing or tongues or joy, then why not ask for God to give you that gift as we seek his presence? We'll have a moment in quiet together, then I'll invite the band to come. Lord, you are present with us here as we are present with you. We rejoice in the gift of your presence and we receive your Spirit, your life-giving, transforming presence. We're so thankful that you are as close to us as our breath, that you took on our flesh, that you came to be among us, and we receive your presence, your Spirit again into our lives. Where we have not been aware of your presence, we are sorry, and we repent, we turn again towards you. And we receive the gift of your Spirit, your Ruach, breathing among us. Thank you, Lord. I'll invite the band to come up, but as they do so, maybe I was just reminding myself of that sense of newness, and I just wonder if there are people who might be asking God for something new in their lives at the moment, whether it is a new gift, a new opportunity, a new hope. We stand with you in that, we stand together in that, and we trust that God is doing new things. So I'm just going to pray that again, that the new things, Lord, that you're bringing to birth, that we would see them come to fullness, come to fruition. We pray for new gifts. We pray for new signs of your power, your work, your presence among us, here and in the places that we go during this week. Thank you that you bring to birth new good things. Thank you that you multiply your goodness upon us. And we trust you for the good new things that you are doing now. Amen. We're going to enter into worship, into sung worship. Can I encourage you, if there is a new thing that you are seeking God's presence to do in your life, that you might want to come and pray with our prayer ministry team? Can I also invite you that if you felt like that was a new thing, you haven't really invited the presence of God, the Ruach of God, the Spirit of God into your life before, and that's a new thing for you, again, pray with someone where you are, or come and pray with our prayer ministry team here. People would love to stand by you and pray for that new experience to be multiplying God's goodness in your life. If you'd like to do stand, if you'd like to stay seated and do business with God, feel free. But do stand if you are able and would like to, and we are going to worship God for his presence together.